Yeah. I'm on the yeah. I'm on the run. I'm on a new level. 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 Brought me a new shovel. Put these niggas in the dirt.
Yeah.
Shame with the new bezel. I'm a nigga put a work. I'm on a new level.
I'm on a new level.
I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level.
I'm on a new level.
I'm on a new level.
Yeah.
Brought
me a new shovel.
Put these niggas in the
dirt. Yeah.
Chain with the new bezel.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Put the work. Yeah.
Sleeping on
man, what's going on, family? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. And you know me, I'm your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ready to chop up some good game, as we usually do, family. The call-in number is 818-850-5404. That is the call-in number. Call me up so we can chop it up. Let me know what's on your mind. And we're going to take that real quick commercial break right now, family, so you don't move a muscle. And we'll be right back right here on Tariq Elite Radio. Don't move.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Yo, are you tired of living in your grandmama's basement? Are you tired of driving a raggedy-ass car paying high interest rates? Are you tired of getting second-rate lace fronts and weaves? Well, you need to let the credit experts at Credit LC restore your credit and get you in that brand-new home or car. Credit LC will even show you how to use your credit to get investment properties so you can get paid and stack paper. Go to creditliteracycoach.com or call or text 312-870-0733. That's creditliteracycoach.com.
Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, becomerichfamousfast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real, real tight game. So check out BecomeRichFamousFast.com.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the Kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Games, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
Yo, what's going on, family? Welcome back to Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite Nasheed. Ready to chop up that good game. I got that Dame Funk bumping in the back. And I got to let everybody know you can still get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. If you don't have it, all of you should have it already, but you can get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4. You can get that at HiddenColorsFilm.com, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. And also, y'all can get you some fresh gear for the holidays. I don't think I'm going to do a Mac-ish package this year. I've been so busy with other projects, and we've been so busy with all these other films getting them shipped out at my office. I don't think we will be able to ship out a Mac-ish package. Plus, Christmas is next week, because usually we do a big Mac-ish package deal for the holidays. I will probably do another Mac-ish package probably around Valentine's, some for the players. But you can still get some of the fresh gear at TariqElite.com. That's the clothing site where you can get all that good stuff. We got a lot of folks calling. Now, family, the phone number is 818-850-5404. Now let's see who's all on the phone with so many people calling tonight. Let's see what's going on here. Come on, goddammit. Shit want to freeze up at the last minute. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo, peace, Tyreek. Yo, C. Safer from Jersey, man.
What's your name, fam?
C. Safer from Jersey.
All right, what's on your mind, player?
Yeah, I'm just calling, man. Check in, man. I've been a long time listening, man. It's good to talk to you. And I got to say, bud, like what happened the other day was very funny, man.
Oh, yeah. For those who don't, I'll explain that to the audience. I just started, so some people might not know what went down. But thanks for the call, brother. Yeah, my man is talking about the incident where I had to run up on Crispy, the real Crispy. And I'll touch on that a little bit more later on in the show. I'll touch on that. But the thing was hilarious. It was funny as shit. Let's see who else is on the phone. A lot of folks are calling. What's up? Who's calling? Well, let's try that again. Hold on. Oh. All right. What's going on? Who's calling?
Hi, Tyreek. This is Sharon calling from Bronx, New York.
Hey, Sharon. How are you, love?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind, Sharon? Sharon, you sound like you have a little Caribbean. You sound like you have a Caribbean accent. Where are you from?
I am from Trinidad and Tobago.
I heard that in the voice. I love it. Love that accent. Love it.
Thank you.
What's going on, Miss Sharon?
I just wanted to ask for someone like me who wanted to start their own business. What should I do? Quick background: social work in New York City, working in a family shelter. There's a lot of black and brown people in the shelters, and they're like stuck there with their kids for like 5 years plus. Mm. So I sew my own clothes. I've been learning. I learned how to sew from my grandmother since I was like 10, and I wanted to bring that to the kids in the shelter. So I just wanted to get like some feedback from you on how would I go about.
Now, if you want to do that, that's more charity work if you're trying to get stuff with people in the shelter, because they're not going to really have the resources to buy certain things. You know what I'm saying? So in that case, what you should do, if you want to do something to donate to charity, you should get a nonprofit going so that you can get donations, so that you can make the clothes and you can use the donations and the money coming in to, you know, focus on the raw materials you need to make the items to give away for free. If you want to go that route, if that's what you're trying to do for people in shelters. Now, if you want to bring this stuff, go ahead, sweetie.
Oh, sorry for cutting you off. What I wanted to do was actually teach the kids, not the adults, the kids, the skill of sewing so they could sustain themselves in the near future and don't have to go back to the shelter. There's a lot of recidivism in New York City where families are like, the shelter is like a revolving door. The programs come and then the programs end. And once the program ends, the families are like back in shelter and the kids just languish in shelter. It is like hardly any programs. If there are any programs, it's just like a flash in the pan where they'll just take them maybe to see a show, maybe to see Santa Claus, but it's nothing sustainable that the kids could like use in the near future, because sewing is actually a skill. Like you could do so many things with sewing.
I got that, sister. I don't want to drag it out because it's a very basic thing. I don't want to get into all the minute details just because of the time factor here. All you have to do, Miss Sharon, is get a nonprofit, because what you need to do, all of this goes back to getting a nonprofit. If you want to show them and teach them how to sew and teach them classes, you should get state funding for that, because there's money earmarked for that, and we need to start getting into that and get some of that earmarked money. All you have to do is have a 501c3 corporation, and you need to get a lawyer, get you a nonprofit so that you can get some of those resources allocated by the government where you can teach those classes and do all those things, and you can go into all the details with them and let them know how you want to do it, where you want to do it, how much material you need, all that stuff. You just got to get a nonprofit, bottom line, and you'll knock all that out.
Great.
All right, thank you for the call,
dear.
Thank
you.
All right. Yeah, Ms. Sharon wanted to get into all the minute details. And I feel her passion. I feel her passion just for time constraints. You know, I kind of wanted to keep it pushing because a lot of times when people call up and they want to go into every little detail about something, that's that kind of draws everything out. Then the audience gets lost. Basically, she just needs to go get a nonprofit so she can do all that, so she can get all those details and let them know exactly what she's going to do. And she'll be good to go. Let me get a couple of more calls to see what's going on. Come on, man. I need some good calls here. What's up? Sharon was good. I'm not shitting on Sharon. But what's up? This nigga smoking.
How are you
weed.
Doing today, sir?
What you smoking, player?
A cigarette, man.
Okay. You need to stop. You choking.
No, I'm calling from Minnesota, Tyreek. This is Mr. Freeze. So I'll give out my last name. This is Mr. Freeze from Minnesota.
All right.
Yeah, we're sitting up here at -5.
Oh, damn.
Cold, man. Cold.
Man.
Were you able to view the picture?
View what picture?
Oh, okay. I've been trying to get at you for a few weeks now. We made it on CNN a couple weeks ago with the racial epithets written on my written at his school.
Okay, racial epithets written at whose school, brother? You're so vague.
My son's school.
Okay,
I'm sorry, there man. You go, brother. I just got off work. I ran out to the truck. It's cold.
Yeah,
forgive me.
Okay, because you act like I know you already. I don't, brother. There's 1,000 people who called the show.
I messaged you, but I doubt you're on Facebook.
I get 1,000 messages every day, so I just don't remember.
Got
you. Got to refresh my memory. So what happened with your son's school?
I'll start from the get go. You have made a statement saying Monday and Tuesday be ready. You might want to keep your kids home from school.
Right.
The day that they did the election.
Okay.
Does that sound familiar?
Okay, bro. I'll have you call back later, brother. Family. Okay. Sometimes, you know, some shows I just want to talk to the family to see what's going on, but y'all got to get to the point. People call up high. People call up and want to get a bunch of other minute details off the chest. I just kind of want people to get to the point. You dig? You just got to call up and get right to the point. Don't assume that I know what your email is, because I get dozens of emails every single day. So I don't know what your emails say. You're like, yeah, remember, you got that picture, player? You still know about that bitch I was telling you about, right? Like, who, what, where, what? And it, yeah, 3 months ago, I sent you a picture of this bitch I met at the mall. Okay. All right. Somebody in the chat room asked me, did I see the story about that guy who got punched at a Trump rally on some kumbaya shit with this Trump white supremacist? Yeah, I saw that. Y'all remember during the Trump campaign, somewhere on the East, this brother was getting kicked out of the Trump rally, and then this old white supremacist ran up and sucker punched him. And then they reluctantly arrested this white supremacist because the white supremacist doubled down on his white supremacy. He did an interview afterwards and talking about next time we'll kill him and hang him. He was talking some real crazy white supremacist shit. So I saw something today where they were in court, and somebody in the chat room refreshed me. I just saw a little clip of what happened, and it was the white supremacists and the black dude up in court hugging. I'm like, what is this bullshit here? Oh, man. Black folks, let me talk to black folks. I don't know what's going on with black folks out here now. What's up with all of these docile, kumbaya-ass Negroes out here? This white supremacist sucker punch you and you in court hugging them. You know, you got Dylann Roof on trial now for shooting a church full of black folks, and the family was talking all that kumbaya forgiveness nonsense. So, I mean, what's going on with black society? With the kumbaya, that's C-O-O-N-baya. Let me try to get another call here, because a lot of folks are calling. I want to talk to the family and see what's on your mind. What's up? Who's calling?
This is Jason from Dallas, Texas. What's good, Ken Fall?
Hey, what's up, Jason? How you doing, family?
Good, my man. I got to give you the props on firing up your boy on Vlad the other day, man. Real, like, much respect, man. That was been needed.
Yes, indeed.
Much love to that, man.
Yes, indeed.
I was on your Twitter, man, and I have saw everybody listening. Follow Tariq on Twitter, man. Don't just like listen, like follow him. You like the dude? I guess somebody was in the school and got stabbed, and the law shot him. And you ain't hear nobody talk about it or anything like that. I was like,
yeah,
but they got on you about the same thing.
Yeah,
and I'm like the universe or the creator or whatever. The guy, like, you can tell where it's moving at, because it's like, what are the chances of that popping off right when you get into it like that about Fox? Like, exactly.
It happened directly after that incident. And for what he's saying, in Nevada, there was a situation where this white kid went to school with a knife. Well, he had two knives. And he's, he had two knives. He went up there trying to poke people out. So he got shot. They didn't kill him. They made sure not to kill him. So they shot this white student. And they went in and they made all the excuses. They were like, oh, he was being bullied. You know, they got every excuse on the planet for this dude. And, you know, nobody called the cop who shot him a hero. That's why when I was on all those networks saying it's interesting that once the black Somalian gets shot by the white cop is paraded around as a hero because they make it racialized. They racialize stuff like
that. Right.
You dig?
Right.
Yeah. And
Much respect for calling that out.
Yes,
man.
Indeed.
Much respect. God.
Yes, indeed.
All right. I just had to get that love. You deserve the Real Nigga Award of the Year before the year's over with. You know what I'm saying?
Sir.
For the work you've been putting in and doing what you did aside of mine, man.
Yes,
much respect,
yes,
brother.
Sir. Much. Thank you, bro. Thank you for the call, Flam. All right. Man, a lot of stuff happening. But yeah, but I've been seeing a lot of real scary sucker shit coming from too many black folks. A lot of scary sucker shit coming from too many black people lately. I saw some video on Instagram where this white boy was beating up this black kid, and they looked like the same age. And they were catching the fair one. And the white boy had some skills, and the black kid, you know, little scrawny arms and shit, throwing these little haymakers. And this white boy was giving him that work. Y'all got to understand why niggas out here twerking and all this sucker shit and goofing off and cooning around. You got a lot of these white kids taking them MMA classes. These white kids are boxing, going to wrestling classes, the whole shebang. They out here trying to get their shit right. Just in case they need to pop off on brothers on a massive scale. So we got to start getting serious about protecting ourselves. And we got to let young people know that too. I don't want to see young black folks out here catching L's in a one-on-one street fight. You got too much punk shit out here. That's why it's very important to G-check dudes, because see, black folks, we use the internet a lot. You know, we're the number one Twitter users. I think we're the majority of people on Instagram. So we use social media a lot. We stay up on the internet. But we don't know how to interact in real world situations correctly. And the thing is, with the white supremacists, they have a code, they are on strict code, and white people who are not on code are reprimanded by the white supremacists who are on code. And part of their code is to test out black society, to kind of measure black society to see where we are. And what they'll do, they will get black people and get their coons to kind of put a toe in the water, so to speak, to gauge black society. They'll send their coons first, or they will send black people who are somewhat respected in first. They'll get them, pull them inside of white supremacist society, gain their trust, and then use that trust gained by a well-respected black person to proxy the trust of black society as a whole. So we got to watch out for these tricks. And this happened recently with Donald Trump meeting up with a lot of quote-unquote prominent black people. For those who don't know, the other day, Donald Trump met up with Kanye West. Donald Trump met up with our brother Jim Brown. He met up with Ray Lewis. And the thing is, John Legend, shout out to John Legend. John Legend kind of called Kanye out. And John Legend and Kanye, that's, you know, that's, Kanye is John Legend's boy. That's his dude. But John Legend called Kanye out. He said, you know, that's, this whole thing with him and Trump, this looks like a publicity stunt, and I'm just not with that. That's not cool. Trump ran a campaign on racism, and, you know, I'm just not cool with Kanye doing that. And shout out to John Legend. John Legend, he usually keeps it 100. And that's what it is. There's photo ops of Kanye taking these real weird, uncomfortable-looking photos with Donald Trump. And the thing is, they also had Jim Brown, and I love Jim Brown. Jim Brown is my brother. I've been to Jim Brown's home. Jim Brown has been in my film, my last film, Hidden Colors 4. Very well-respected brother. Jim Brown is a person who does a lot for Black society. This brother's a writer. He's been doing a lot for Black society from way back in the day. This brother's worked with gang members out here in L.A. He's a very, very well-respected brother. And that's one of the reasons why Trump and those people brought him in, because our brother Jim Brown, he said, you know, I met Trump and, you know, I kind of fell in love with Trump. So they must have told Jim Brown a whole bunch of bullshit. And I'm not saying anything to disparage our brother Jim Brown. Jim Brown is 100 as far as I'm concerned. But they must have went in there and Trump and those guys must have made all kind of promises. And my thing is, we got to wait, and somebody in the room, somebody in one of the chat rooms is making somewhat of a disparaging remark about Jim Brown. I'm not going to go there because I don't know. Jim Brown has done a lot. Jim Brown is a writer, and I'm not going to erase that brother's work. That brother's done a hell of a lot, especially behind the scenes. So I'm not going to put my man Jim Brown on the train. That's not going to happen right now. Now, Ray Lewis is another story. And even when I was at Jim Brown's house, he was saying, I got a lot of respect for Ray Lewis. He told me that. And I was thinking in my head, Ray Lewis is a motherfucking coon. I'm like, oh, man. But I guess it's based on how Ray Lewis, you know, respects Jim Brown. I think he treats people as individuals. There's nothing wrong with that. Jim Brown's a very open-hearted person. When I was at his house, there was some white people living there with him. I don't even know who they were. It was like Black people, white people living there. I'm like, okay. So Jim, he's always an, you know, he rides for the community, but he's an open-minded brother. So, wait. You said, I'm looking at the chat room. Somebody said on News One that the media misquoted him. Okay. We got to look that up, because the media was going around saying that Jim Brown said he fell in love with Trump. So I want to get the actual quote. I want to get the actual quote. And if anybody can look that up, that would be great. Because the media, they are very good at misquoting people, just like me. All those media outlets, including Fox, I said that it was interesting that this officer, this white officer, was being paraded as a hero. And nigga, fuck a misquote. They just straight lied about what I said. It's nothing for them to lie. But with Kanye met up with Trump, and people are like, what's Kanye doing up there with Trump? You know, Kanye is not anybody with any kind of major stature within Black society. He's an entertainer. He has a lot of hot records, and, you know. So with Kanye was just being used. See, Kanye thought that, okay, I just go up in here, I'm going to get a lot of publicity being up here with Trump. I'm going to take some photo ops and all that. And I don't know if Kanye knew he was being used or just didn't give a shit that he was being used. But the reporting goes, it says Kanye West, Chicago native West, who reportedly suffered a mental health crisis in recent weeks, tweeted, I went to meet with Donald Trump today to discuss multicultural issues. And let me stop right there. What the fuck is that? What is multicultural issues? Okay, you got to watch that. See, now that's coon train talk. We don't have multicultural issues. We got a white supremacy issue with black people getting the shit kicked out of us. What multicultural issues are they? See, he's talking about his marriage with him and Kim. He's talking about him and the Kardashian family. See, he's being Mr. Kardashian right here. That's Kim Kardashian talk right there. When niggas start talking about, well, we have multicultural issues. That's the white side of the family, the white in-laws talking. So he's talking about multicultural issues. Okay. I'll let that slide. But then he said this. He said, some of these issues include bullying, supporting teachers, modernizing curriculums, and violence in Chicago. At that last few words right there, that makes Kanye a complete idiot. Either Kanye is a knowing idiot or he's just a clueless idiot. Nevertheless, the last line of that sentence, that we went to talk about violence in Chicago, Kanye, you dumb nigga. That's the quote that they've been running with all through the media. That's the quote that they've been wanting to get. Let me tell y'all something. Understand this, black people. We got to understand code words that these white supremacists use. When you go around talking about crime in Chicago is a code word. That's a code term, so to speak. That's a code. Crime in Chicago means violent black people around the country. That's what crime in Chicago means. That means all black people who are violent around the country. And that's the stereotype that they put on us. Black people are violent, and we need to do something about that violence. That's why we need law and order. Watch these code words they use. So if they get Kanye to say it, now Trump and those people can say, hey, well, look, Kanye wanted me to do something about crime in Chicago. That's why I'm going to implement more stop and frisk. I'm going to implement and allocate resources to more law enforcement all around the country, because whatever happens in quote unquote Chicago, all of us gets punished for it. We all get punished for that. Whenever a black person in St. Louis or Miami gets shot, it's like, well, what about black on black crime in Chicago? So that's a code term, crime in Chicago. And the fact that they got him to talk about that, which crime in Chicago is bullshit. Crime in Chicago is an economic thing. It's an economic white supremacy thing, because black people in Chicago are so segregated and funneled into segregated, locked in communities where they are put in economic apartheid out there in Chicago. They don't have any economic resources, and all of the funding is allocated towards immigrants like Arabs and Asians who come over there to get money to start businesses and exclude black people from that economic opportunity. So the problem in Chicago is a simple fucking problem. It's economic. That's why you have crime. The crime is economic. That problem can be solved in fucking 24 hours. You just start businesses there, the crime will go away overnight in Chicago. Guaranteed. And the people who run shit know that. This whole crime in Chicago is not no big confusing ass shit. Chicago, the crime happens in about four areas in Chicago. There's about four neighborhoods where the majority of the crime happens. So it's not like these areas are just so rampant with these hardened criminals that they can't figure out how to curb the fucking crime. The crime happens in Chicago because they want the crime to happen, and the crime in Chicago has become a metaphor for black people nationwide. We have to understand these codes that these white supremacists use. Because understand this, no, you notice there have been white on white crimes that's been rampant, and they barely get headlines. The white on white crime, there's some shit, white people out here doing some real ratchet shit, and it barely gets a mention. There's stabbing, shootings, rapings, killings all over that hardly get a mention. But the thing is, you got to understand this. The white supremacists, they know how to co-opt certain black folks and put them among black society to test out how the coons are going to act. They get these coons, put them in black society, test them out, have their coonery dip in around black society and see how black folks react to it. Once black people normalize the cooning, because have y'all noticed, folks, there's a lot of coons out here. They're normalizing cooning. Coons are rampant because coons get rewarded. There's coons out here who does, they do a lot of cooning, then they throw up a GoFundMe page or a Patreon page and get money, and throw up Indiegogo pages and get money. And you see coons on TV left and right, and hell, to be an athlete, they almost force you to be a coon. But coons are used to kind of gauge black society. If coons can get away with stuff, then the white supremacists can move on in and do what they need to do. See, this is why the white supremacists, after the coons do what they do, the white supremacists go ahead and move on in. That's why we need more G-checking. And I talked about this on Ism Radio. There's an art to G-checking. Just an old school G-checking. You step to somebody and say, hey, you're not going to bring the fuckery over here. If you bring the fuckery here, there's going to be a problem. G-checking was always needed. Not on no sucker shit, not on no self-hating shit. G-checking was all about making sure people conduct themselves in a coded manner. At least a code on the streets, number one. You know, that's why I've always bigged up the street hustlers. On the street, on a street level, you had to have a code of conduct. If you did not abide by the code of conduct, that made people suspicious of you. If you're not abiding by a code, you out here just doing sucker, reckless shit. People are going to look at you, okay, like, I don't need to do business with this dude. Is he going to snitch eventually? You understand? So there was always that G code there to kind of make sure dudes were in pocket, especially with the older dudes and the younger dudes. But even your peers, a lot of times you can get G-checked by your peers if you're doing some shit that's going to be detrimental to the game. We don't have that no more. We got a bunch of dudes raised by single mothers. A lot of dudes don't really understand being around grown-ass men, manhood, a dude talking to them like a man. Sometimes if you talk to a dude like a man with force, they'll start bitching up. They don't know how to handle that. They don't know how to take that. Niggas' feelings get hurt and their emotions get hurt. They go to the internet and start whining. This nigga, he ain't shit. He bossing up on me. I'm sensitive. You know, that type of shit. But the thing is, when we let coons become normalized in black society, then the white supremacists, they feel comfortable enough to come in with their shit. There was, y'all remember when those white supremacists were trying to do those armed walks into these black neighborhoods all over the country? They were testing out different black neighborhoods during these. They tried to pretend that it was all about the Second Amendment and all this, but they were really trying to test black folks out to see if they can get away with coming up in a black area armed. And they went in some neighborhoods and the goofy ass niggas were going right along with it. Some of these goofy ass niggas was going right along with it. What y'all doing, shawty? Hey, dude, what's up, man? You know, we're just doing a march, just trying to show people in the community about their Second Amendment. Oh, that's cool. That's a nice gun you got, shawty. Dumb as fuck. And then some of those white supremacists tried to roll up in other neighborhoods, and some of the black folks weren't playing that shit. Just like down there in Texas, they were going to go in a black neighborhood. Those brothers from the Huey P. Newton Gun Club said, no, no, you're not. If you come out, we're going to come out there and meet you too. So these white supremacists changed their shit right on up. See, that was a G-checking. Ain't nothing wrong with that. G-checking will save lives. Same thing happened. There was a situation in Cleveland, because it's open carry out there in Cleveland, and this suspected white supremacist was walking around in a black neighborhood by himself with an armed weapon, just kind of walking around, and it was a brother who was a hustler who owned a barbershop. This brother went out there and G-checked the white dude. He's like, hey, man, you had to get the fuck up out the hood with that shit. That was the only brother who checked this dude. It was the street dudes who was on that code. He was like an old school player, too. He checked the shit out of him. And he told the police in the whole nine, hey, you know, I know it's open carry, but I'm just uncomfortable with this dude walking around. He's in front of my business in my neighborhood. You know, we got kids out here. We don't know what the fuck he's going to do. He needs to bounce. It's that simple. Grown man shit. G shit. Black folks got this thing where you just let shit happen. You see coonery, you see white supremacists pushing up, and y'all just let shit happen. I've seen rap battles where white rappers are disrespecting brothers. I'm like, what the fuck? I've seen rap battles where you got these white rappers saying like racial shit in a room full of black folks, and black folks just standing there looking. Oh, ooh. I'm like, what the fuck? What's going on with brothers and sisters out here? They're gauging you, and black folks are testing weak. You testing positive for fuckery, black folks. You're testing positive for fuckery out here. Anonymous, that was in Cincinnati. Yeah, I think it was in Cincinnati with the brother with the barbershop. But look that up. It was an old school player. He shut that shit down. He's like, this dude, I'm not letting this dude walk around the neighborhood with no damn gun. I know it's open carry, but he can carry his ass the fuck up off this block, though. See, we need that G-checking. And see, that's the situation that happened with me and Tommy Sotomayor the other day. See, what happened with me and Tommy Sotomayor, that was a good old-fashioned G-checking. I actually saved Tommy Sotomayor's life by G-checking this nigga in person. Now, most of y'all don't know who he is. Tommy Sotomayor, we call him Crispy because he's ashy. Him and his trolls, because he has a bunch of really goofy trolls who follow him. They make dozens of screen names talking about, well, Tariq is calling him Crispy because he's dark-skinned. Why you make hidden colors and talk about somebody's skin? Well, motherfucker, if I wanted to do that, I could, and you couldn't do shit about it. That's number one. If I was calling him Crispy because of his skin tone, there ain't a motherfucking thing you can do about it but make more fake screen names and whine. So that's number one. Let's be very clear. So if I wanted to call him Crispy because he's dark, I would. And you couldn't do shit about it. But that's not why I call him Crispy. I call him Crispy because he's ashy than a motherfucker. I've never called him Crispy because he's dark, because all dark people ain't crispy. There's some crispy light-skinned motherfuckers. I call him Crispy because you ashy and crusty as hell. But whatever you want to think, you want to project your bullshit onto me, have at it. You can't do shit about it anyway but whine. And I'm not in the whining business. Whine over there. But I digress. But the thing is with Crispy, Crispy's one of these coons. For some reason, he had certain black folks shook. And Crispy's the kind of dude, he pushes up on sisters. And, you know, the dude is real violent with black women. This dude has had domestic violence cases where he's beat up black women. And there's videos of him. As a matter of fact, there's a few videos of him running up on sisters, threatening to beat them up. There's a couple of videos of him doing that. Yeah, bitch, you run up on me, I'll shoot you, bitch, and I'll beat your ass, bitch. I mean, yeah, he's a real rah-rah nigga when it comes to beating up black women. And this is open. I mean, this dude has been convicted for it. He makes videos every day shitting on sisters. He goes out, starts fights with sisters, threatened to beat sisters up. And I'm surprised nobody has G-checked this nigga on that before. See, all you niggas out here talking about black queens, that's why I don't really co-sign niggas doing all that black queen talk, because usually it's just niggas with their dicks out. That black queen talk, that's can I get some pussy talk. That's what niggas say when they're trying to get it in. Niggas usually got their dicks out when they're talking all that black queen shit. And they're, you're basically reducing the queen to a sexual object. See, that's not what you do. If you got respect for the black queen, not only do you create an economic base, you create a kingdom for that queen, and you create a level of protection for that queen. Most of y'all niggas ain't doing nothing close to that. You're not creating an economic base. That's why we got a lot of bedwinches out here, because white daddy is creating an economic base. Let's just call it what it is, family. When you start creating an economic base, that's when you can be on boss level. That's why a lot of people hate the hustlers, the street dudes, the PIs and the dudes like that, because they say, oh, these niggas exploit women, but a lot of women choose dudes in the street game because at least those dudes are talking economics first. Even on a street level, even on an underworld level, when a female encounters a dude who's in the street game, he's going to come at her on some purse first shit. And that's a motto in the game. It's purse first, ass last. That's why a lot of women choose. They can respect that. We're talking money. We're talking an economic base. And the thing is, a lot of dudes, man, you're not creating no economic base for these queens out here. And not only that, if you let coons push up on these sisters and you don't do nothing, then the white supremacists are going to feel comfortable with pushing up on them on some rah-rah shit. See, we got to start G-checking folks on fuckery. Coons and the white supremacists. See, I do both. I have no problem checking coons. I have no problem checking white supremacists. I'm one of the few public figures in America. Hell, forget America, in the world. I'm one of the few internationally known, because I have access to the international media. I'm the only person who goes on international media and calls out white supremacy internationally on a regular basis. Well, there's some people who are kind of doing it now. They'll use the word white supremacy now. You know, they'll kind of use that. But I go in all the time and I call out that problem. I've done several interviews in the last few weeks on international television calling that out. Most black folks, and it's definitely not people in the dominant society, just don't have the balls to do that. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying I would like more people to do that. I don't want to be the only one out here. And black folks got a problem by just letting one person get out there and do all the heavy lifting, so to speak. Everybody needs to be on point. But the thing is, when you let coons fester, and the white supremacists, they send their coons first, like Crispy. They'll let Crispy go out there and they'll let his coonery get normalized, and he say all this reckless shit, and black folks are kind of, well, that's just how he is. Then they feel comfortable with coming on in with their bullshit. That's why coons are not on the same page with us. I see niggas tell me shit like, well, you and Crispy, man, y'all need to build together. Now, any nigga who says that, you must be a coon your damn self. I do not want any association with people connected to Crispy. Coons are not our people. Coons are not our brothers. We got to be very clear. That's why they're coons. I don't know where black folks get this thing where, no, Jesus loved the coons. We can get with coons and build with them and just talk with the coons. No. Coons are like cancers. It's like the Walking Dead. When you're dealing with a coon, you're dealing with a walker, a zombie. That's somebody who has already turned. That's a motherfucker who's already turned. And what do zombies and walkers do? They infect other living people. That's all they do. That's their only purpose, is to get around you, bite you, infect you with their bullshit. And that's all coons do. There's no progressive conversation that we can have with a damn coon. They have made their decision. So with people like Crispy, I'd never be cool with a coon like that. And anybody who's down with a coon like that. Now that brings us to DJ Vlad. Now I was on DJ Vlad's show a few weeks ago. And DJ Vlad invited Crispy on his show to do an interview. And I'm thinking Vlad did that to stir up some controversy because he knew that I was beefing with Crispy. And Vlad does a lot of stuff like that. He'll get people who he know is beefing and Vlad to kind of act innocent about it. But Vlad had to have known that I'm beefing with Chris because Vlad did a lot of research on me. He was asking me about criminal cases and shit. I'm like, how the fuck do you know about this? So when I interviewed him, he did a lot of research on me. So this Vlad knows. He knows who I'm beefing with and all that old shit. He knows. So Vlad, when he brought Crispy on, I think he brought Crispy on for the sole purpose of asking him about me to create controversy. And, you know, Vlad be playing the clips back and forth. What Tariq said this, what do you think about that? You know, because Vlad kind of tried to do that with me and Roland. He was like, yeah, you were beefing with Roland. Tell me about that. And I talked about it. And notice, go back and look at the interview I did on Vlad. He was trying to low-key exploit the beef that I have with Roland. But one thing I don't do, I don't side with anybody. I don't side with anybody white against a black person. I'm not going to do that. I'm not siding with you. And I gave Roland props, even though I got my issues with Roland. I said, Roland does a lot of good work. He's a rider. He does a lot of stuff for the community. So I'm not going to throw Roland completely under the bus. But the thing is, I think my conjecture is DJ Vlad brought Crispy on because Crispy is a nobody. He's just an internet troll that, you know, people enjoy clowning. He's a nobody. But the fact that Vlad would bring him on, this complete nobody who's never really done anything significant. He's just a goofball troll who's just a nuisance for the most part. He brought him on so that he could instigate some kind of beef. Now, what happened when Crispy did Vlad's show, somebody called me. Because I don't listen to Crispy. I don't listen to his shit. He's very boring. He's not funny. He's corny. He's lame. It's just really boring. I don't listen to him. It's like listening to a broken record. It's the same corny coon shit. I just don't listen to coons. And if you listen to coons, there's a little bit of coon in you. If anybody sits up and listens to a coon on a regular basis, there's a little coon in you. So somebody hit me up. They were like, hey, ma'am, you know, Crispy's in town. I'm at my office. You know, my office is not too far from where Vlad does his show. So I'm there, you know, eating my lunch because it's like in the afternoon, eating me a nice big teriyaki bowl. I'm chilling. I ain't thinking about nothing. So they called me up and said, hey, man, you know, Crispy's going to be on Vlad right now because I think Crispy was posting on social media that he was at Vlad. He was posting it. He was telling folks, I'm on Vlad, everybody. I'm about to do Vlad, everybody. So I said, oh, interesting, because I want to ask Crispy about these death threats because, you know, Crispy has been sending a lot of death threats to me on video. He made about 3 or 4 videos. Not even 3 or 4, more than that. I mean, Crispy makes a video about me every other day. I don't listen to him. And I've heard some of the clips of the death threats. There's a few. But he said very explicitly how he was going to kill me. If I did this and I did that, he's going to kill me. He's going to get his gun. And I mean, he's talking about, yeah, if Tariq keep fucking with me, I'll go to one of his Hidden Color screenings and shoot that nigga. Just very detailed. Just very detailed. And, you know, I laugh it off, you know. But if you say that, you're going to kill me. And I think he has mentioned harming my wife and my babies. You know, when niggas mention harming your wife and your children, I got a 17-year-old daughter, and this nigga's violent already. He's talking about harming me, the women and children in my family, and I have young children and female children, and he's known for sneaking up on females and running up on women with violence. So what, do I wait on this nigga to act out on it? What do I do? Well, I do some old school G-checking. I just do some old school G-checking. So he came to town. He felt comfortable enough to come on up in L.A. I said, okay. So I paid a little visit to Vlad's show. I went up there in the studio. And I walked right up on him. And I was making sure that I filmed it because Crispy is a pathological liar. And I think he's already lying now. I've seen some stuff where a couple of his trolls were trying to say I had a gun. You know, the Crispy's a pathological liar and everything is always exaggerated. He came, there was 30 people, everybody. He had 200 niggas, everybody. They all had baseball bats, everybody. You know, that type of shit. So I came up there by myself. I didn't have anybody with me, which I could have because people were mad at me after the fact. They were like, nigga, why in the fuck didn't you call me? Niggas was out here was real mad that I didn't call them, but I didn't want to take it to that level for such a bitch type of nigga. It was just an old school G-checking. It was an old school G-checking. So I went up there. I stepped to him. I happened to have a Coon Train Award at my office, so I brought a Coon Train Award for him because he did win this year's Coon Train Award, so I just wanted to present him with this award. I said, Crispy, I got your reward, got your award for the Coon Train. And, you know, when I walked in there, the look on this nigga's eye, that nigga's soul left his fucking spirit. That nigga's soul left his body. He looked at Vlad. Crispy wouldn't even look me in the eye, family. Crispy wouldn't even look me in the eye. All this nigga's on video doing all this rah-rah, I'ma do this, I'ma do that. I came in and this nigga would not even look me in the eye. He was addressing Vlad. You set me up, everybody? Did you set this up, everybody? He went into Mary and Barry mode. The bitch set me up, everybody, from smoking crack, everybody. Oh, he was like, Vlad, you set me up. Vlad was like, hey, I didn't know he was coming, which Vlad didn't. I wouldn't cooperate with a white person against a black person, even if that black person is my enemy. I would never do that. That's just not my character. I would never collaborate with a white person to do harm to any black person, even if that black person is my enemy. I wouldn't do that. But I came in there. And this nigga, and I'm like, what's up, bitch nigga? I'm just all in this nigga's face. I'm trying to give him the trophy. He's sitting up there with some goofy ass fake wrestling belts, just looking like a clown. And I'm like, what's up, Crispy? And he's looking at Vlad like, white daddy, please save me, Vlad. You gonna let this happen, everybody? You just gonna let it happen, everybody? His eyes are tearing up. You just gonna let this happen to me, everybody? So he wanted white daddy to save him. Vlad couldn't do nothing. What was Vlad going to do? And it was some chick there. I think it was Crispy's chick. A little black girl there. It was this chick. And she's looking. And, you know, it's bad to punk a nigga out in front of his lady. And it was just killing him to get punked out in front of his lady. And she was looking at me with the choosing eyes. Like, nigga, can I be down with you? She was giving me the choosing eyes. But the thing is, I got all up on Crispy. I said, Crispy, what's up with the death threats? You were supposed to kill me. Boy, when I say this nigga was backpedaling, I didn't say that, everybody. You said you're going to kill me, everybody. I said, dude, I never said I'm going to. I don't make no damn death threats on no internet. This nigga was backpedaling like a damn clown in the circus. I didn't say that. No, I didn't. It's you, everybody. Okay. I said, Crispy, that's what you're going to do. You're just going back. Well, I mean, I'm waiting on all this killing you said you were going to do. And this nigga totally submitted. He sat down. It looked like a dog with its tail tucked between its legs. So I looked at him and I start feeling pity for him because he wouldn't look me in the eye. I'm like, this nigga don't want it. He's bitch made. Just a regular OG check, just to see what he was going to do. He said he was going to do all this stuff, and I just wanted to see what he was going to do. I didn't say I was going to go up there to jump the dude or lay him out or whatever. Didn't make no threats to him. I don't make threats on no internet like that. I don't do that. I went up there to inquire about all this killing he was going to do. He started backpedaling. I said, all right, man. So every time I would walk out the door, he would say something under his breath. I would walk out the door, punk motherfucker. Then I walk back in. Then I get back on him. I'm like, okay, what you got something to say, Crispy? What's on your mind? I thought I heard something. What's happening with you? Nothing, everybody. Nothing, everybody. It was somebody, Texas lady. Crispy kept mumbling. Every time I left, he would mumble something under his breath. That's why if you look at some of the videos, and Vlad had one of the videos taken down, I kept going in and out of the room because every time I left, he would mumble something. He would get balls when I left, and then I came back in on his ass, and he wouldn't say nothing. So I kept coming in on him, and the more I kept coming in, he's sitting in a chair. He wouldn't stand up no more. He stood up for one point, then he sat his ass down. When he stood up, he wouldn't look me in the face. He was turned to the side, holding the belt up, and it was like, you know, you felt a little twinge of pity because it was almost like stepping to a gay dude. Now, I'm not going to beat up no gay dude. And that's how the dude was acting. He was holding the belt up. He had this fake wrestling belt, shielding himself with this belt. He was holding the belt up like, don't hurt me, Tariq. Don't hurt me. Stop. He sounded like Cat Stacks. Stop, man. Stop. So the nigga had a belt, holding a belt, shielding himself. Somebody said I made him look tiny. You know, I'm 6'4". Crispy, what, 5'11"? He ain't that damn small. And, you know, I'm there looking bummy. I had on bummy clothes. I just ate lunch. My stomach looking like Gucci Mane. So I'm like, I'm just there chilling. I'm just there chilling. I wasn't going to do nothing. Unless he stepped up. Now, if he came up with the rah-rah shit, then, you know, it would have been something else. But I just wanted to see what this nigga was going to do. Yeah, I'm in there homely than a motherfucker. You know, I'm just in there inquiring. What is he going to do? Somebody said my drawers were inside out. Were they? Because his chick, I saw a second angle. She was filming my booty. I told you she was choosing. She had the camera right on my ass because I was bent all the way over talking to this nigga in his face. He sat down. I'm bending over literally in his face. I'm like 2 inches from his face. I'm bending over in this nigga's face like, Crispy, you bitch nigga. What you gonna do? You talking that rah-rah shit. Crispy, what are you gonna do? He's all looking the other way with a tear in his eye. I ain't gonna do nothing, everybody. I didn't say I was gonna do nothing, everybody. Vlad, help! Help, everybody! You know, it's that type of shit. And this lady's filming my butt cheeks. I'm bent over, my ass is out. She's filming my booty choosing. Cause I walked out, she gave me a look. I'm telling you. You can see it in the freeze frame. I'm gonna get that freeze frame and show the look she gave me because I gave her a compliment. I said, oh, this you? This sister's kind of cute. Do you know her ass giggled? I said, she's kind of cute. She was like, nigga, she was choosing. Women know. She know the kind of bitch nigga she got. Crispy might be tricking off a little money on her. She know the kind of bitch nigga she got. She straight giggled. I said, this, you kind of cute. Crispy probably whooped her ass. The hell you laughing and giggling, everybody? So she's filming my butt cheeks. She's choosing. Crispy sitting there with a tear in his eye. And I just repeatedly say, Crispy, you bitch nigga, what are you going to do? What's up with all these death threats? Are you going to do something? I'm here in your face. You're talking this rah-rah shit. You're making these videos. You're talking about what you're going to do to me. No, I didn't, everybody. I didn't, everybody. So the thing is, and I went on and bounced because I saw how bitch made dude was, but an experience like that, that will help somebody out in the future because that could have went somewhere else. That should be a lesson for people like Crispy. If you're a dude like that, you kind of like to run your mouth on the internet just for views. You kind of like to show out and high side, as they used to say, and fake the funk and talk a lot of big rah-rah shit on the internet. And anybody who talks shit on the internet is usually some kind of fucking phony. Real motherfuckers don't sit up and talk about what they gonna do to somebody on no damn internet. Somebody said, yeah, he went home and made a 3-hour video. Somebody told me this nigga done made about 15 videos about it in the past 48 hours. Again, I don't listen to him. I don't want to hear a nigga whining. I don't give a fuck what a nigga did when he went home. You go home and then make 30 videos talking, yeah, everybody. No, because when I'm right there in your face, you're punked out. Somebody said, why didn't I slap him? No. I'm not going to sucker punch a nigga. That would be a bully. Because that would be sucker punching. I'm not in the sucker punching business. Because if you look at the video, you see this nigga wasn't even looking at me. He wouldn't even square up with me. I'm not going to sucker punch a nigga who ain't even going to really square up. He's already submitting. The nigga basically submitted. He's there with his tail between his legs looking the other way in a feminine posture. That would be a sucker move for me to just steal on a nigga like that. You don't steal on a nigga who's already submitting. Nah, that goes against the code. You don't do that to a submissive nigga. He's not a threat. That's why I'm asking him about the threats he made. You made a lot of threats online, player. Where are the threats now? What threat? No, I didn't, everybody. You know, there's no threats. This nigga's totally submissive. So I'm not going to bop the motherfucker like that. Again, that's like Bobby hitting a gay dude. I'm not going to hit no gay dude. It's like hitting a woman. You don't get no points for that. You don't get no points for jumping on a woman or a gay dude unless it's one of them big New Orleans queens, because them motherfuckers down in New Orleans, they got some big burly fucking queens down there that can throw. So you better get a baseball bat and fight one of them motherfuckers because they will go in on your ass. I've seen some of them New Orleans queens. Come on with it, baby. You know, they talk all that shit. I beat your ass, baby. But for the most part, a gay dude or a bitch-made dude like Tommy who's submitting to you, you don't hit that nigga and he's sitting there not even making eye contact. You're standing over him and he's literally sitting down with his legs and knees together and a tear in his eye. You don't swing on no nigga like that. I'm not no bully at all, man. I'm not no bully at all. And yeah, somebody said there's some other YouTubers cooning about it. Yeah, you got a lot of bitch niggas who identify with Crispy because, you know, you got a lot of internet fuckboys. And we live in that age. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about these niggas who cannot wait to be coons. We live in an age now where the internet, you know, it gives these niggas brass balls, online nuts. They got E-testosterone. And, you know, being bitch made, you know, they can throw up a donation page and the white supremacists will give them a couple of dollars. So they give them a financial incentive to be bitch made. But I don't get down like that. I'm not going to punk out. Well, I did punk him out, but I'm not going to sucker punch a nigga who's sitting up here being 100% submissive to me. That's like hitting a woman. And I don't do that because if I did, he hit me when I wasn't looking, everybody. He hit me when I wasn't looking, everybody. Look what he did to me, everybody. You know, he would milk that. I already know this nigga make a whole big deal out of it. I got sucker punch, everybody. That nigga be sitting up there like Mary J. Blige.
Is it a gun? Is it a knife?
Everybody.
Is it a wallet?
Everybody.
This is your life.
Everybody. He had a gun, everybody. He had a gun, everybody, and a pistol and a machine gun, everybody. So this nigga's already trying to build some lies. He's already, I don't know if he said the lie, but one of his trolls, but they're already trying to say I had a gun. You know, he's going to put some extra lies on it. He came up there with 15 niggas. They had pit bulls, everybody. They ran up on me. He had a gun, everybody. He had a gun. He had a knife. Is it a wallet, everybody? You dig? But that's what it's all about, G-checking coons like that. To let them know you don't have a comfortable space like that. If you're going to be making all those threats and doing all that old rah-rah shit and then showing up and then bragging, yeah, I came to this nigga city. They didn't do nothing, everybody. You dig? You're going to get treated like a bitch. You're going to get punked out. And he took an L. He knows he took that L. He got punked out for running his damn mouth. And you got to understand, I had decorum about G-checking him and punking him. And that's what it was. He knows it. But I had decorum about it because it could have went another way. You should understand how easy it is for people to run up on you. Because my folks ran up on Crispy before. But you got to understand, if it's that easy to run up on you and potentially touch you, just imagine a motherfucker who don't have the decorum that I have. So you're lucky that a person like me ran up on you and G-checked you and punked you the way I did. And I gave you an opportunity to do what you said you were going to do. You didn't. So I just kept that thing pushing. That's what I thought. You ain't about that life. Have a good day. But what if somebody else came through just like I did and say, fuck that. I'm not going to give you an opportunity to explain nothing. I'm smashing. So you should understand. Running your mouth and writing checks that your little ashy ass can't cash, that's just not good business, especially getting embarrassed in front of your lady like that. That really hurt him, getting embarrassed in front of your lady. You sitting there with your lady and a nigga standing over you, punking the shit out of you, and your lady's over here looking at my ass, filming my butt cheeks. And taking the video home in the shower with the water running, diddling her cooch. Thinking about how I walked up in there on some man shit. And your crusty, crispy ass sat up there with a tear in your eye, backpedaling. Women ain't gonna forget that, nigga. Her coochie's gonna feel a little drier when you have sex with her. You're gonna wonder why that coochie's drying up a little soon. You're gonna have to use extra KY jelly to lubricate, because she's not gonna get as wet as she used to. Thinking about how you sat there and got punked. This coochie is dry, everybody. It's hurt my ding-a-ling, everybody. Let me see who we got on the phone. We got a lot of folks calling. Hey, am I petty? Yes. What's up? Who's calling?
This is Horace from Houston.
Horace from Houston. How old are you, Horace? I'm going to get your age first.
I'm 35.
I've never met a nigga under the age of 50 named Horace. Are you?
Oh, I was named after my grandfather.
I was just about to say you were Horace the Third or some shit. I was just about to say that.
Yeah, nigga.
You gag with a name like that. That's a name that's passed down. That's an old school player name. I know some old school yeah. niggas named Horace, drives a big fucking Cadillac and wears some gaiters and owns a damn barbecue joint somewhere as a front for heroin. But what's going on with you, Horace?
Oh, man, I'm so happy you answered, man. I'm having problems, and I really almost just blew up today, man. I got robbed today, man, by the goddamn government, man.
What'd they do?
This the second time in 6 months. Last time they took $8,000. Today they took $10,000 for child support.
Oh, damn.
And they just taking it. They just, like, as soon as it goes to my bank account, they waiting for it, and they just snatching it. Bro, I'm just looking at my baby mama. I'm just like, yo, how can you let these people just handle me like this and I take care of my kid? I got one kid, 7 years old, and I do everything for him.
Do y'all have shared custody?
She has custody, but I can get them whenever I want.
No, fuck that. No. Y'all got a brother's got to stop doing that. Well, I get my kids this, I get my kids that, I get them whatever I want. No. Y'all got to start going down there, getting shared custody, getting shared visitation. Get it on paper. Get the shit on paper where it's legal. It's a legal document. So that will show that the child is with you half the time. So half those resources that you get have to go to the child. The child is with the mom half the time. It has to be a set schedule. Get that shit in writing. Because the shit she's doing, she's getting in writing. While niggas are talking this, I'll go anytime I want and I go to the store anytime I want. She's got a damn lawyer. And they got a schedule, they got documents, they got paperwork on your ass, and they ain't playing that loosey-goosey game. It's very documented and very detailed. You need to do the same thing, and hopefully you can get some of that child support reduced. Also, man, what you need to do, get you some kind of business going so that you can have funds that's not being directly deducted out of your personal bank accounts. You understand? Y'all got to start thinking business. Y'all get off the emotional shit with these women and child support and all that. I'm not saying don't take care of your kid. You should definitely take care of your kid. But this child support shit, that should be going to this person, that person. That's a whole racket as far as I'm concerned. And
that's exactly what I said. I was telling them, I'm like, this is a racket. You just stealing it. You know, because they don't give you an option. They call and they say, look, we have your account on hold. It's like, let's say it's $9,400. What we're going to do is we're going to leave you $2,000. Now, you can accept that, or you can wait 30 days, and we'll take all of it.
Mm.
Now, you need time to think about it? I'm just like, you ain't give me nothing to think about.
Yeah. That's why, man, you need to get you a business account, man. Get you a business, get you an LLC, so that you can have a business going, so you can protect some of your assets, so all your personal shit ain't just getting robbed like that, man. You got to be about business when y'all deal with these women, man. Baby mamas and all, brothers don't be on that business shit. Y'all be trying to beg and plead with these women. The white supremacists done got them. They already got, once the paperwork is filed and all that, the baby mama can't do shit about it anyway. Once that paperwork is filed, that's a wrap. Once that shit is in the system, it is a wrap. No, even if y'all reconcile, even if y'all move in, the state is still going to be hitting your damn pockets up, nigga. Y'all got to be about business.
She never got no money like this in her life. So even if she wanted to, she wouldn't take it off. I mean, this is like, I'm taking care of her. And I'm taking care of the whole family.
Now, does she have other kids by the dudes?
Nah, just my son.
No, how old is your son, by the way?
My son is 7.
Okay, he's a big boy. Okay. But yeah, start looking in ways to protect your money, man, to protect your assets, man. Start talking to a CPA. Get you a lawyer who specializes in child support cases. See, but sometimes you got to splurge on shit that you need. We be trying to take the cheap route. Get you a lawyer, somebody who can handle that so you can be good in the long run. All your money for rims and all the dumb shit, all your money for weed and all the shit, put that on somebody who's going to help you out in the long run. You feel me?
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you for the call, fam.
I appreciate it, bro.
No doubt. Yes, indeed, family. But anyway, man, that's today's episode of Tariq Radio. And like I said, the name of the game, we got to check these coons, man. Watch these people that they're trying to push in black society. Watch these people they're trying to use as Trojan horses for white supremacy. A lot of these dudes, they do what our brother Neely Fuller say, they shadow box. And dealing with these coons, it's almost like shadow boxing to a certain degree. You deal with them and get them out of the way so that you can deal with the people who's the real puppet masters, which are the white supremacists. Because the white supremacists love getting black folks to mirror and regurgitate their talking points so that they can do the dirty work of the white supremacists. And we got to be very cognizant of that, family, and stop going for that trick. We got to G-check these coons. I don't want to hear nobody telling me how I need to build and create a relationship with no coon. If you're telling me that, you must have a coon in you, and I don't even need to be around you. That's why I say, anybody out there, y'all listening right now, there's a few thousand people listening right now. And if you are a listener of Crispy or a fan of Crispy, and a fan of mine, I'm going to say this, and I said it before. I do not want you following me. I don't want you following me on Instagram. I don't want you following me on Twitter. I don't want you following me on Facebook. I don't want you coming to my lectures. If you are a so-called fan of anybody like Crispy, I don't need you to be nowhere in the mix of what I'm trying to do or my people are trying to do, because you're not what I want to bring into the circle. I'm just going to be 110. I don't need you as a fan or a follower. I don't need you if you are a Crispy fan. That's not the kind of shit. You cannot be on two teams. You can't be on Team Empowerment and Team Coon. You can't be on both fucking teams. I'm sorry. I only want strong players on this team here. I do not want weak players. I'm not into the weak team business. I'm about getting shit done. If y'all want to sit up and let a motherfucker lie to you 24 hours a day, everything out their mouth is a lie. Motherfuckers robbing you, getting money and spending the money you gave them on child support, getting the money and going on trips with the money you gave them and lying and fronting and going in people's houses and fronting like it's theirs. If that's the kind of shit that you want to get down with, you can't get down with nothing over here, because that's not how I get down. Because the thing is, if coons try to get close to you, they'll try to associate you with the coon shit. That's why I didn't like Vlad bringing dude on there, because see, they'll try to associate me with that shit. Because I hear some semi-coons out here will say, well, Tariq and Tommy are the same. I will give anybody $1,000 tonight if you find anything that I said remotely similar to that crispy coon Tommy. Anybody find some shit that I said or done anywhere remotely close to that fucking coon. Anywhere remotely close. There's nothing similar to me and a coon like that. I don't fight women in the damn streets. I don't jump on sisters, and I ain't got cases for jumping on sisters in the street. No. And if anybody rocks with cats like that, you just don't fuck with me. It's that simple. Good luck to you. You can listen to whoever you want to listen to, but I just suggest and I would just prefer you not rock with me if that's what you get down with. Because it's too late in the day. We need soldiers. We need riders out here. And I'm all about winning. Everything I say I do, I do. And I need folks like that around. We got to have that type of circle. I keep a tight circle and I want a strong circle. That's how you get empowerment. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Elite Radio. How long has today's show been? It seems like it's been pretty long. Let me look at the time. Oh, damn, this is a long fucking show, man. It's almost an hour and 20 minutes. I've been chopping up game with y'all. All right, y'all. You know what I might do tomorrow? I might do a YouTube live tomorrow. I did my man Sonetta's show yesterday. Shout out to Sonetta. And he was kind of showing me some stuff about Google Hangouts. And I think I tried that before, but they have some new features. And I like the way it looked. I was on Sonetta's show, and I like the way it looked. So I might try to do that tomorrow, that Google Hangouts, that YouTube, where you're live on YouTube, just to try it out. I like Ustream because I can put, you know, different clips here, different clips there, and I'm used to Ustream. But I might do the YouTube thing tomorrow. So y'all follow me on my YouTube page, which is Tariq Live. Go to YouTube, follow me on Tariq Live on YouTube. That's my page. And follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite, and you guys have a good one.